Start clean with Clorox, because Clorox delivers a powerful clean every time. Because messes happen. Because... I got the charcoal mask. Great, because why would I put that on my face when I could drop it in my sink?
This is what I get for multitasking. Ugh, why is charcoal so sticky?
Hello?
Hey, Janice. I am so sorry. I thought I was on mute. No, we don't need to reschedule. I'll just stay off camera.
Ooh, yeah, that happens. So start clean with Clorox. Use Clorox products as directed.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Bros Pod is, of course, brought to you by Bet Online. Bet Online is back and better than ever. A new web interface for the start of the basketball season and more props, odds, and lines than ever before. BetOnline remains your number one spot for all basketball and football action this season, of which there is plenty. Head to the new updated desktop or mobile website to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Just use our promo code BELEAV50, B-L-E-A-V 50, to receive your bonus. From basketball, football, baseball postseason, NHL, boxing, and UFC, right to your favorite Vegas casino games, don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers available for the 2021 season. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet all your favorite sports. BetOnline, where the game starts.
Everybody, welcome to a traveling version of Bill Roden on Sports. As Bill Roden, I'm on the road. You can hear background noise because I'm traveling, you know, but didn't want to miss you for our weekly podcast. So here I am holding it down in an undisclosed location heading east. Here with my friend and co-host, who you'll hear mostly to, so we can have good audio, the great Jamal Murphy. Hey, Murph, what's happening?
What's up, Bill? It's great to be back this week. A lot going on. We got a special guest with us today, someone who, you know, definitely a friend of the program, friend of mine, friend of Bill's. But, you know, sports-wise, a lot going on. We're going to talk a little NBA. We got the Knicks getting off to a hot start. The Nets a little shaky. The Lakers a little shaky, but, you know, they had a big game. Big win last night. And of course, we're going to talk with our guest about all things youth basketball, AAU basketball, a whole lot going on there. And our guest is Khalid Green. He is a former big time high school coach in New York City, former Brooklyn Nets scout. He's currently one of the directors at New Heights Basketball, one of the best AAU programs in the country, right here in Brooklyn. Khalid Green. And of course, let me not forget, he's also the co-host of the podcast Up Next, along with me. So that's the shameless plug. Check that out if you haven't already. But yes, Khalid Green, what's up, man?
Peace, everyone.
Hey, Khalid.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, man, it's always a pleasure, man. You put us on the map a couple years ago.
Yes, sir.
had us in the New York Post, baby.
Yeah, the New York.
Yes, sir. I have that effect, man.
Hey, man, I know we're going to talk about, we got a lot of stuff to talk about, but one of the reasons, you know, Jamal and I thought it was great to, you know, have you on the show. It really kind of came out of a conversation as we ended our last show. You know, Jamal had to go and pick up his son to take him to Little League Baseball. And then we started talking about that. And then he said, Little League baseball one day, then the next day, Little League football. And I was like, man, isn't it freezing out there? You know, isn't it cold? And then from there, we start talking about parents and, you know, how there's a part of youth sports, which you're an expert in, that I would say is a ripoff, but I'd like you to just tell us about, you know, youth sports. Everybody thinks their kid could be the next Venus Williams. You know, you got the movie coming up, the Netflix movie with Venus and Serena, or right. They think they could be the next Kyrie Irving, or they think the next anybody, the next, you know, the next great baseball player, the next great soccer player. And well, you know, have you sports gotten any more intense since you were coaching? You were coaching at Lachlan at one point, right?
Correct.
Yeah. So I know we're going to end up talking about the NBA, but there's a kind of connection. But have the aspirations of parents toned down anymore, or have they accelerated in the last, let's say, 5-10 years?
I think that's a great question. And to be frank, it has certainly accelerated with the, you know, and I think the major thing that has made it accelerate is social media. It, you know, it gives a lot of information, sometimes not all of it, you know, right and exact information, but it, you know, it's a forum now where parents think they can go to get valid information. And a lot of times they run with that information. And it's not all, you know, like I said, it's not all correct information that they're getting. The other thing is, you know, now we have a situation or a process where parents can see that their children can make money. We have the NIL, name, image, and likeness. So that's going to add a whole different dynamic to youth sports. You know, parent kids that have 80,000, 100,000, 200,000 followers, and there are kids out there like that, they're going to be able to cash in now. So, you know, from a parent's perspective, that's going to also add flame or fuel, if you will, to their drive to be the next one or have the next one.
Talk about how you got into AAU, because you know you're a high school coach, Nets scout. Mm-hmm. What made you want to get into the whole, you know, youth basketball AAU scene?
Well, quite honestly, a lot of people don't realize, way before I was a Nets scout, I was just a community coach. Mm-hmm. I was coaching in neighborhoods with a neighborhood group right here in Brooklyn. And we went around to different tournaments. At that time, it was Citywide, which was played at Left Rack, Queens. It was Citywide in Harlem. So there was, you know, Black Men Who Care here in Bed-Stuy, Junior High School 258. You know, there was so many different local tournaments. And when I came home from college at Morehouse, I just started coaching with the youth program at that time called Jackie Robinson. And that's where I really got my foot in the door with, you know, coaching youth basketball. And sooner or later, you know, after I went to become the graduate assistant at Long Island University under Coach Ray Haskins, and then I think that was about 96, 97, I started my own program, which was called Brooklyn Bridge. And with those same kind of neighborhood kids, that's when I started getting into higher competition, which landed us in playing in the AAU regionals, which we finished runner up in our first year to the Gauchos. And then we ended up going to the AAU Nationals in Memphis, Tennessee. Had to raise a lot of money in a short span of time. And then from there, that's when I started realizing, wow, this is a big deal, because now we're playing against kids from all over the country that are really good. I remember that next year in eighth grade, we played against this big, like, I thought my height was pretty good at 6'2". That was the biggest kid on my team. We played against a 6'8 giant who now is on ESPN saying carry on all the time, named Kendrick Perkins. So right. Yeah, so that, you know, so that those type of experiences opened my eyes up to what youth basketball could be and what it has become.
Are you still a fan of it? I mean, you're still involved. You're at New Heights Academy. And so, you know, you're still involved. Are you still a fan of youth sports and the positives? And sort of what are those positives?
Yeah, I'm definitely a fan. I love basketball, but I also love working particularly with Black and brown youth and I try to teach life skills to the young brothers that play for me. So I coach an eighth grade national team. We, like, this month we're going to A Game and Spooky Nook. And then the week after we're going to Made Hoops in Virginia. So there's a lot of travel, but I definitely enjoy the mentoring part of it. Trying to teach these kids to open up their minds to different types of aspects in the world and navigating. And I help try to navigate them and their parents through the pitfalls that I see, you know, a lot of parents make there's a lot of pitfalls in the game that, you know, I think I do my best to try to navigate the kids through. Those pitfalls could be like choosing the right high school, choosing the right college, choosing the sport for the right reasons, playing the sport for the right reasons. So those are some of the things that I try to, you know, mentor the kids on and also try to, like I said, open up their minds to different aspects of life other than basketball.
You kind of deal in and you work in the elite area,
right,
of youth basketball, right? But the industry has gotten so big now that, you know, kids start as early as 3, 4, 5.
Right.
And then, you know, it's become a money-making industry where you got people who, you know, who can prey on these, not prey, but, you know, they sometimes prey on these type of people where at that age, the parents of these kids all feel like, oh, my kid could be great, you know, because you don't know yet. You don't really know until you get to about 8th, 9th grade. So
right.
You know, kids got trainers and you know, every kid has a trainer. I don't care what sport it is.
Right.
Even if they're not elite yet. What's your feeling on that? And I know that's changed because I know when I was coming up playing, nobody had a trainer and all that kind of stuff. So what do you think about that aspect of the game?
Yeah, that part of the game, I think, has gotten real corny, quite honestly. Like, I think there are too many trainers. There's not enough coaches.
Right.
You know, there's a lot of guys that, you know, they turn on YouTube and they learn a couple of things and now they call themselves trainers. It happens like that with coaching as well. And I just think that, you know, I think kids now are playing less basketball and training more. And what I mean by that, you know, like you said, Jamal, when we grew up, you know, I would go to the park and play 3-on-3 and 4-on-4. And I would play against, you know, in the park in Brooklyn, you know, you're playing against a gangster. You're playing against an athlete. You're playing against, the brainy type.
Right.
But, you know, it teaches you it teaches you social skills and it teaches you how to communicate. And you know, playing 3-on-3, 4-on-4 teaches you how to instinctively play basketball. I think a lot of these a lot of times that I know kids that are training, overtraining, because they're almost like robots. When they get in the game, everything is pre-scripted and they really don't play with a rhythm. A lot of times, I'm not going to say all the time, but a lot of times they don't play with a rhythm and they don't really naturally read the game. So I just think that, you know, I'm not devaluing training kids, but I am saying there needs to be more focus, in my opinion, on just straight playing basketball, you know, learning how to play with others and learning how to communicate on the court. That's one thing that I think is an intangible that's really missing from the game of basketball, because we have a generation of kids that communicate all through computers and through text. Mm. So when you get them on the court, it's really like pulling teeth, teaching them how to as a coach anyway, teaching them how to, you know, communicate with their teammates, you know, letting their teammates know, I have this guy now on defense. You can go get him, or a good pass. Just little things like that that mean a lot to a team, I think, is missing today.
Yeah. I'm just curious. Has it made, when you see a guy like Cole Anthony, who you knew, you know, when he was young, does that just make this whole, you know, back in the day, way back in like in the 60s or whatever, when the pro thing just wasn't that big a deal, or at least it couldn't be seen. But now you can really see it. You can see a direct path between being 12 years old and saying, hey, man, by the time you're 15, 16, 17, you can be on your way. If there's certain moves that you have to make. So I'm wondering, when you see a guy like Cole Anthony make it, does that just, again, for parents, you know, does that just kind of make it just more intense? Yeah, you know, the dream.
Absolutely, Bill. Yeah, absolutely, Bill, because what's happening is, so you have the middle school, environment, and, you know, there's a lot of different teams that don't have a sneaker sponsorship in the middle school environment. My program was one of those. We were what I consider mom and pop organization, you know, getting it out the mud, you know, raising money any way we could. And you're always going to get plucked off by those right now, New Heights, the Wrens, PSA Cardinals. Those are programs that are sponsored by Nike. And what happens is those parents that you're talking about, Bill, that their kid might have been 8 years old when Cole Anthony was 14. So they're, and that might have been their kid's favorite player, because that kid now sees him earlier than they would have. They see him on, you know, social media, and he's doing highlights and they're seeing that. So now the parents and the kids are following that kid's path. So they're saying, okay, he went from playing for this little middle school program. Now he's playing with this grassroots program, Nike. That's what we need to do. You know, so these are some of the, this is the game behind the game. I read John Thompson's book, and they Call Me Shadow. And he used to always talk about the game behind the game. And what's happening is there's a lot of game behind the game going on. There's a lot of chess moves that parents are playing, because they are now, again, they are more aware of what's going on around them. They can see some of the, like you said, Bill, some of the pathways that the kids are going, and they just want to follow that trend.
Yeah. You know, when we talk about, you know, youth sports and the path to the pros or college scholarship, we'd always say, well, you know, you've got all these young Black kids in football, basketball, because it's affordable. But I'm wondering, you know, and once it becomes unaffordable, sort of there's a certain type of Black folks who gets phased out. And I'm just wondering how expensive, we know baseball is really expensive to play, and hockey is expensive. Is basketball becoming really expensive to play? Why has that remained a sport of the so-called masses?
You know what, Bill? I just had a talk with somebody the other day, and I think basketball is becoming more expensive to play. It just depends on what level of basketball you're talking about. So, like, if you're a kid that's satisfied with just playing in the city, then basketball is not going to be that expensive. You usually can find a local team and play in the local neighborhoods. But to the parent that, you know, is going to take this thing seriously, you know, Jamal brought up training. So now they're going to, you know, pay for a trainer. And then next thing you know, if you're on one of the mom and pop teams, they're going to be on the middle school program. They're going to, the ones that are not even sponsored are going to be traveling for the most part. So now you're talking about, they're going to, I remember when I was with Brooklyn Bridge, we probably traveled. We didn't have a sneaker sponsorship, and we traveled probably at one point once per month. So now that's hotel fees, that's gas, that's food, that, you know, pretty much if your program is not sponsored, the parents are going to have to pay for that. So, and that could come out to about, you know, maybe $1,000 for the weekend. Literally, I mean, maybe not 1,000, but maybe about 500 for the weekend when it's all said and done between you and your kid, or even more. So I think basketball is getting more expensive because there's more tournaments that offer more exposure. You have guys that are ranking the players, and they're putting their stamp on some of these tournaments. So then it incentivizes for parents and kids to go because they want to get ranked. So that's your new conveyor belt, Bill.
right. I mean, it never. What's the black involvement in the conveyor belt? That was always one of the issues of the conveyor belt. Not so much that the conveyor belt in of itself was quote unquote bad, but that African Americans didn't really control the conveyor belt. You basically were on it. But everything, you fed everything into the pockets of white people. And does that still exist?
Absolutely. I'll give you a rundown or walkthrough. The kids start off in playing in the local community. And in the local community, everybody pretty much, you know, looks like them. And then they play, you know, they're going to end up playing on an elite middle school program. Everybody pretty looks like them there as well. It starts getting a little different when it comes to, you know, the elite level programs. And what happens is, you know, we don't have on the elite level programs, we have some that are all black, which is okay, but we also have some that are, you know, that are mixed and diverse, if you will. But really where it really starts getting, you know, I think the conveyor belt really goes from black to white in a very specific way is when it comes to high school and college. Because you know, that's where, for example, that you know, if you're an elite player, you're playing at one of these academy schools. And if you look at some of the academy schools, a lot of these academy schools do not have black head coaches. Mm-hmm. You know, they have white head coaches. Monteverdi, Kevin Boyle does a good job. He's white. You know, you have IMG. You have, you have St. Pat's. So, you know, a lot of those head coaches are not black. And then moving even further, obviously we know this year was a great year for college basketball coaches to get hired, but we're still well underrepresented on the elite level of programs where black coaches should be, you know, more involved, if not hired. You know, should be the head coaches, you know, if they're qualified. So, and that's where, you know, the disparity comes in place. And, you know, obviously then you're going to have the agents that already have affiliations with the head coach. Right. And usually those agents, if they have an affiliation, then, you know, that those players will go with those agents. And then now a financial planner comes along with that. And, you know, the more we keep talking, the more it gets, you know, that coffee went from real black to cream, like Malcolm X just mentioned.
light and sweet.
Yeah.
But let me ask you this, because you talked about, you say it changes at the higher levels in terms of like coaches and that kind of thing. But even at the lower level, elementary, who are the people who are getting paid at that level? Like who are running the camps? Who are running the big tournaments? Who are the guys ranking the players? Like that kind of thing.
Yeah, that's a good question. Like I think at that level, There's some brothers out here that are, that have done a great job. Jabon, we had on our podcast, we had Mike Milton on. Yep. He's done a great job at B-Ball Spotlight. We also had the commissioner of A-Game on. He's a brother. Mm-hmm. You know, he does, you know, A-Game, which is where we're going. You know, Chad Babel is not black, but he's done a hell of a job for the Made Hoops. Mm-hmm. You know, that is like the creme de la creme for, you know, middle school basketball now. So he's done a hell of a job. So but for the most part, you know, the guys that are ranking, Kevin Daniels, we had on our podcast. He does a great job with his ranking. He's a brother. But we still, I'm sorry, we still need way more representation. Like, I'm thinking off the top of my head, I can only call about three. And there's a masses of people that are ranking, like Finkelstein, and, you know, there's a masses of people that don't look like the kids that are ranking. And I just think that our people need to be more, especially youth, need to be more exposed into the different avenues that they can get into participate in this sport. A lot of times we're not exposed to it, and that's not on anybody else. That's on, you know, me, you, Bill, and people that are kind of the elders now. We have to, you know, let our youth know the different avenues that they can get into, and then kind of push them that way, especially when we know early that, you know, Tyrone can't shoot the ball like that, but he might be able to write, you know, so maybe he needs to go into journalism or, you know, little Muhammad can't, he can't throw that ball, but, you know, he's great with math. So maybe he needs to do the rankings and, you know, do analytics. So this is something that we need to start, you know, introducing our youth to a little more, so we can have better representation down the road.
Yeah. Hey, Khalid, before we escalate to pro conversations, what impact did COVID have? You know, when you got all these parents chopping at the bit, you know, they're on schedule to, you know, get these college scholarships and the whole thing. What was your experience during COVID? How challenging was that? Well, we're still in COVID. I don't want to make it seem like, you know, yeah, it's over. But, I mean, you guys are traveling and traveling around. What impact did COVID have? And then I'll ask you a Kyrie Irving question about COVID.
Okay. Well, first of all, COVID had a hell of a impact on, you know, on our children, just period. Like, you know, I just think about my godson who lost a whole year or year and a half of not being able to be in school, in high school, you know, so just the social aspect of, you know, hanging with your friends, you know, maybe meet your first girlfriend, like all of that was wiped out, you know, for a lot of our, you know, young brothers and sisters. And then also academically, a lot of our kids, they learn better in person. They need that touch of of some of these teachers, some of these better teachers that can, you know, pull them to the side, you know, really teach them from a holistic standpoint. And, you know, I know so many kids that were just falling asleep on remote or just, you know, acting like they were on and then going to the store. Like I've heard it all. I've heard it all. So yeah, just from that aspect, COVID hit hard. From the basketball standpoint, just I'm just thinking logistically, like we usually would travel, you know, in a 12 passenger minivan. That was eliminated because we didn't want all our kids up in one van all together. So, you know, parents were more comfortable with, all right, if we are going to go, I want him to stay in my room. And, you know, they're not going to stay, you know, the kids are not going to stay in rooms together. So that was eliminated. You had less tournaments. You had tournaments that were supposed to, you know, be in play, and then they were totally wiped out. I remember when COVID first hit, the whole summer of New York City, summer basketball was completely wiped out. It was dry out here. Like, nobody was playing basketball. And I think the crime rate went up, you know, because of that. So, Now, I'm not saying directly because of that, but anytime, you know, we have kids that are just idle, we usually know that bad things can happen. So, you know, COVID just completely did a, you know, did a lot of damage to the Black community, to all communities, but to our community in particular, and to the basketball scene, it definitely took a hit.
Mm-hmm. So when you have a guy, kind of make a leap, when you have a guy like Kyrie Irving, again, we talk about role modeling and how these kids pay attention to the Cole Anthony of the world. When you got a guy like Kyrie Irving, you know, not get vaccinated, and, you know, openly and all that kind of stuff, are kids listening to that stuff, or is that too high above their level?
That's a good question. I would say that I do believe they're listening, because, you know, and I only say that, Bill, because his sneaker is the one that they want the most. Mm. Like, I don't have the stats in front of me, but I know for a fact, like, they're asking for Kyrie's. Like, they love Kyrie. Kyrie is a genius on the court, as we all know. They try to practice his between him and Steph. I think some of the most popular guards that younger guards follow. So, you know, they are paying attention. I don't know if they're paying attention. They're paying attention to Kyrie. Now, they paying attention to the whole political scene and, you know, the reasons why, and are they trying to flesh it out like us adults, or why not he's not taking it? I don't know if they're into it like that, but they are watching him. They know he's not playing. And, you know, at some point, I'm sure they'll ask, you know, in their heads, they're asking why, or they're saying, okay, he's not playing. So I just think that, you know, these kids love the hell out of Kyrie. So, you know, I don't want to say that, you know, they're against him not playing or, you know, vice versa, but they definitely are watching him as a role model.
Right. Before we move on, I just need you to give people a real sense of what's going on. Like, you right now, you're director of the program as a whole, but you're coaching an eighth grade team, right, at New Heights?
Yes.
Can you tell us your schedule? No, give me, well, just so people understand what's going on here at the eighth grade level. Tell us your schedule, and then let's say in the next month, you know, where you guys are traveling and all that kind of stuff, and the type of competition that you see out there.
Okay, so let me just give my team a shout out. We've already won our first championship. We won a game 2 weeks ago.
Oh, great.
Yeah, thank you. And so now we're playing in a local tournament, which is called City Is Mine. And, you know, a lot of the top teams in New York will be in that tournament. We play in that on Sunday, on November 6th. That following week, we're going back to a game where some of the top teams will be playing. That's in Pennsylvania, Spooky Nook, Pennsylvania. The weekend after that will be in Hampton, Virginia at Made Hoops. And then we come back to finish out the City Is Mine tournament. I think in December, we're going again to Made Hoops. I think it's in Maryland, it's in Maryland. I think we're going to another session in January. I forgot where that is. My birthday weekend, which is 13th through the 16th, I'm on the 16th. We go to North Carolina to play in the Junior Phenom tournament. At the end of the summer, just skipping around, we're playing in, we'll be going to, the Made Hoops finale, which is in Augusta, Georgia. And we'll also be going to probably Ballin' on the Beach, which is in Miami, Florida. And then we'll be in July, I think we're going to Las Vegas with our guy, Gary Charles, right. His tournament, the Big Top tournament. So It's a hell of a. If you notice, there's a lot of cities involved. There's a lot of traveling. There's a lot of egos I have to manage, and I'm starting with the parents over the kids. Right. But overall, it's a great experience for the kids. They get, you know, it puts them on a platform. We're going to be playing against some of the top talent, like you mentioned, Jamal, in the country. Kids that are ranked like number one in the country for eighth grade. And, you know, and I don't have a kid ranked. So I tell my guys, you only eat what you kill. You know, this is where you have to, you know, if they have food, you got to take it off their plate. So, you know, that when you rank, you're eating. Right, right, right. When you're not ranked, you're not eating. So how you going to eat? You got to kill the dude in front of you. So that's what our goal is. I call this, my guys that are listening, we call this hunting season.
Right. All right. I'm just saying, I'm thinking about this. What's the purpose? Is the purpose to get college scholarships, or is the purpose just to give kids an experience? What's the point?
I that's a great point, and that's something that you know, for parents that are listening, you have to you need to have a purpose for this. So the purpose that you should have is, one, this gives kids a platform to, before college, to quite honestly get a scholarship going into, you know, one of these high schools, you know, pardon me, my dog, but one of these high schools, like, you know, one of these Catholic schools, one of these academy schools, they are watching on these circuits. They have their people that are recruiting on these circuits. They're there. Also to get your kid ranked. So the higher your kid ranked is, you know, the more likely he will get a scholarship. You know, which, you know, some schools in, you know, Catholic schools in New York, we're talking about $15,000-$20,000. So that's so you're putting in money to get something out of it. And then I ultimately, you know, you want your son to be in a high school to go to the next level, which would be college, and get you a college scholarship. And for some kids, some parents, they quite honestly are thinking, they're not even thinking college. They're thinking, you know, my son is number two in the country. And, you know, if he continues on this trajectory, if he's number two by his junior class, we're going to go play for overtime, or we're going to go to the G League, or we're going to, you know, we're going to maybe play overseas. So, you know, that's the purpose. You know, the purpose is, you know, if you're not in this to get something tangibly out of it, and you're just playing ball, you're wasting your time. You should be in this to, you know, get a tangible outcome out of playing all this basketball.
That's a good point. That's a good point. So if you're just there just because I like playing, I guess that's the thing about sports.
Then you're playing yourself.
I just like to play. So
yeah, all right.
that's for the locals. That's for the locals. Mm-hmm.
Right. Well, you will be weeded out, I guess. Because
yeah. No question.
Yeah. So you know, the NBA season started. I know, Jamal, you're very excited. Maybe you are too, Khalid. You know, the Knicks are 5-1. You should probably take a picture of this. But I guess people say that the NBA is always better when the Knicks are doing well, and it's been quite a while. And I guess probably both of you guys have seen that. When the Knicks are doing really, really good, it percolates down to every level.
Right. I agree. Like, it gives the city a vibe, man. You know, I grew up a Knicks fan, and then became a Nets fan when they started paying me. So I have an affiliation and love for both franchises, really, at this point. But it's nothing like when the Knicks are doing great. Like, they it's almost like the city, they have a magnetic pull with the city, you know, in a good way. And it just, you know, everybody starts talking about it. You go to the barbershops and, you know, people are, you know, excited. They talking, you know, they talking smack. You know, now we can, now they can actually, you know, Knicks fans can actually talk smack with Brooklyn Nets fans and vice versa. So I think it's just great for the city. And it's nothing like a kid that's coming up and your professional team is good. Like you, there's a certain pride you have, you know, in watching your professional team. I know I had it when I was growing up and I was watching, you know, at first it was, you know, Michael Ray Richardson all the way up to Bernard King to, you know, to Patrick Ewing. I had affinity for those guys. You know, I took pride in the fact that they played for my city and obviously Chicago and the Bulls. My mother was talking a lot of smack when, you know, when the Bulls were on top with Michael Jordan. So it's just a beautiful thing for the city.
What is it about Madison Square Garden, man? Like, there's no place like you watch a game in there, even on TV. Yeah. You watch a game, there's the electricity is crazy. I always wonder why is it? And then you're in Brooklyn at the Nets. It's not the same.
No,
you're in the same city. You should have the same people. What is it? What's the difference?
I think the Knicks fans have been through more pain, man.
Right.
So the passion is stronger, man.
Right.
You know, the passion is a lot stronger, and they've been in this, like, this has been the city's franchise for years, you know, and, you know, from the time that they won with Walt Frazier, they've been looking, they're like drug addicts. They've been looking for that one hit. They've been chasing that one hit since that time. And it's been, you know, it's been teased, but it's never come around. And, you know, right now it seems like, you know, the ball is, you know, things are moving in the right direction. I think the Knicks did a great job hiring the front office they hired, retaining Scott Perry, a friend of mine, and you know, hiring Leon Rose and World Wide West. I think that's a great combination. And everything starts from the top and then it just, you know, filters down. And Tom Thibodeau obviously was a great hire because he has these guys playing hard as hell. And that's the New York City way. They play with a lot of grit. So
right.
Yeah. And I guess there's a difference between New York City and Brooklyn. You know.
Nah.
I mean, New York, you don't have the song, you don't have Frank Sinatra sing about Brooklyn. You know.
You're right, but we got Jay-Z, baby. Listen, man. Hey, Bill, I love Brooklyn. I like New York, man. I'm going to just leave it at that.
I understand. You know, people in Omaha and people
No.
I got to go to Brooklyn to make it. I got to go to New York to make it. but anyway, we don't get into that. I mean, Brooklyn's fine. I've got a nice bakery I like there. And you get, you know, what's that? Where you get the cream, the cheesecake? You know, so it's fine.
Oh, yeah.
But then you have a chance. Then you got Kyrie, you know, pushing the stuff off track. You know, it's kind of You know, you got the potential. Then you got Kyrie kind of gumming up the works. You know.
Yeah, he's the wild card, Kyrie. But you know what, man? They've known Kyrie was the wild card since they got him, and now it's just, you know, it's amplified. Let's just leave it at that. But, you know, they've known that. Like, I know they've known that because I've worked for four general managers and nobody was more meticulous with doing intel than, you know, Sean Marks and how he wanted us to do it. So I know they know what they're doing. They got all the intel and, you know, now... Here it is.
Well, you know, you could get. You talk about being addicted. You know, like in the sports industry, you know, as you know, man, even at the youth level, you get so addicted to talent that you overlook other things because somebody just has so much talent. And you know, particularly in our business, you know, you could tell they're probably youth teams. And a really talented kid, and that's where it starts, right? You get away with murder because you're just so good, you know? And that's whatever, at every level, it's kind of the same thing. You know, you get addicted to talent.
Yes. Yeah, I agree.
So let's talk about the next Nets quickly. just, you know, on the court. They're 3-3. They won a game. You know, they beat Indiana last night. You got, they have no Kyrie. We don't know if he's coming back. What do you see from them? Like, let's say Kyrie does not come back. Do you think they're a title contender without him?
I think they are a title contender with, because I do believe James Harden will get in, you know, I think he's playing himself in shape just like he did last year.
Right.
So I think he'll be fine with those two. They're still a title contender, but I don't think they'll make it out the East with just those two. I do believe that they need Kyrie because I you know, Milwaukee's still going to be with Milwaukee as long as that Giannis is there and healthy. You know, the Bulls, the Heat look very good, you know, so these guys are younger, you know, these are younger legs that are running around. So, you know, without Kyrie, I don't see them making it out the East. That's just me.
Yeah. And so when you look back on it last year, that's why you can't, you know, one year doesn't necessarily link to the next year, but you know, Brooklyn was so close last year. I mean, they came within, you know, Kevin Durant's foot, you know, size, whatever foot being on the line, not on the line for beating Milwaukee. I mean, they were right there, but the way they look now, you know, I don't see them beating them again. You know, they let Milwaukee off the hook and Milwaukee, you know, just like a young player, suddenly you see yourself as a champion and your entire attitude toward yourself and toward winning changes. And I don't know if Brooklyn could take them now, you know, if Kyrie comes back.
Yeah. Somebody else said that. I forgot who a commentator said that even if Kyrie comes back, he doesn't think they're the pick out of the East. I forgot who said it, but I agree. And they're not getting younger. Like these are not like young legs and they're fragile legs. You know, KD is 2 years off of his injury and Harden's, you know, on, you know, just is working his way back from rehab from his injury last year. And
Kyrie always gets hurt. It's just a matter of when.
Yeah. Kyrie has been, you know, injury prone. So I just don't see in the 80, and now it's not 72 games. This year's 82 games. Right. So I just don't, they're fun to watch, but I think in the end, you know, in my pick, and just to go on record, my pick is the Lakers this year.
Wow. I was about to ask you. So you still got confidence in the Lakers after, cause you talking about, they don't got young legs at all.
Nah, but I just think LeBron has one more in him. Mm. I think LeBron has one more in him. And, you know, with that madman Westbrook, I think he's hungry enough and smart enough to kind of, you know, learn to play with LeBron. I think it'll work out.
What about the Knicks?
I think this year their goal should be to get out of the first round, obviously, and I think they're a second round knockout probably.
Okay.
I just think they need one more. They need somebody else who's a go-to player besides Jamal, besides Randall, to really make a real run.
You think Phoenix was a mirage? Because I can't have to think. Who did Milwaukee beat? It was Phoenix. Do you think Phoenix shot their shot?
I think that was their shot. I think that was their shot. I think the West, with Klay Thompson coming back, if he comes back healthy, I think it's going to be between the Lakers and Golden State.
Since you have the scouting background, I got to ask you, one thing I always look at is the rookies. Tell me who are these, this rookie class do you really like?
From the rookie class. Well, the kid Green from Houston has been exceptional. Mm-hmm. You know, he plays with a, he plays with a purpose. He plays like he has a little, he plays with a bounce. Mm-hmm. He can shoot. I think he set the record the other day in Houston for the amount of threes in the game. So he's really impressed me. And guys that are not rookies that have impressed me is my man in Memphis, man. I just think John Morant is a sensation. I think he's the next box office you know, guy in the league. He reminds me of a little bit of Allen Iverson with the way he scores and he's fearless. You know, Ball is tremendous in Charlotte. He got them playing well. Him and Miles Bridges look like a great combination. So, you know, the league is in very good shape right now as far as the young Bucks that are coming up. And, you know, shout out to grassroots basketball for that.
That's right.
More to
shout
come.
Out to the conveyor belt. You keep pumping them in.
That's right.
When does Zion come to New York? When Zion comes to the Knicks, is that the player that basically puts the Knicks finally back to championship form?
I don't know about that, man. I don't know, man. Zion has to stay on the court, man. Zion, I don't know if he's ever going to, you know, I hope that he can, but I don't know if he's ever going to. His weight issues, I think, are a big problem, you know, and I think that, you know, with the injuries, you know, you have to really stay on the court, and he can't. At this point, he hasn't been able to stay on the court.
Well, he did play. There was 72 game season last year. He played about 67, and they held him out of like the last few games. So, I mean, last year he played the whole season. Then he got hurt in the offseason, I know.
Right.
But, I mean, I look at a guy like, you know, I get the injury issues, but, I mean, I look at a guy like Embiid. Like, we still talk about Embiid like he's one of the guys, and he hasn't ever been able to stay on the court in years.
And he started off the season with his knee hurting.
Like, right. Like,
so I don't know if he's going to be – I mean, that's a shaky – that whole situation is shaky, as we know, with, you know, Ben Simmons. You know,
what do you make of Simmons? Is that an AAU? Well, he didn't come up through that AAU system, but he seems to have an AAU mentality.
Technically he kind of did, because he went to Monteverde. You know, so he's been part of that. He's been part of the system. And I just think that he needs to man up, man. I just think he needs to man up. Like, this is, you know, there's a right way to do it. You have to be a professional, first of all, in all walks of life. You know, whatever our profession is, that's the profession we chose. So there's certain type of standards that you have to meet. So, you know, obviously, you know, he went back to to Philly, so he didn't lose any more money. And you know, they say he has, you know, mental issue, you know, some mental situation going on right now. I hope that's real. And if it is, I hope he gets, you know, the help that he needs to get. But I think he's going to get traded. I think it's just a matter of time before he gets traded. But the problem is, it's a buyer's market now. And Philly is not going, it's probably going to get a penny on the dime now.
You're right, because they know they're desperate. Well, listen, in a few minutes we've got left. This still is the NFL season to me. When I think of the NBA, I'm still watching NFL football still keep my eye on the playoffs with Dusty Baker. You know, you're choosing for the people, you know, choosing for the black manager. NFL still hoping that Lamar Jackson could pull it off. So Jamal, this is a time of the show where you give us our black quarterback ranking.
Right.
We do that Jamal does it every week. And, you know, we have enough black quarterbacks now that we actually could do a black quarterback ranking. So Jamal,
it's a beautiful thing.
Yeah. So who's the black quarterback? What are the rankings for this week?
All right, the BQBPRs for week 7, the black quarterback power rankings for week 7. Not much changes, so I could pretty much fly through this. But there was one change at the top. You know, Kyler Murray's been number one all season, put up monster numbers, but he did take a loss on Thursday. They lost to Green Bay and Aaron Rodgers without Devontae Adams. Kyler Murray didn't have a great performance, 274 yards, no touchdowns, 2 interceptions, only a 67 passer rating. So that moved. So someone had to move past him up top, and now the number one QB in the power rankings is our boy Dak Prescott.
Ah,
you know what I'm saying?
If he plays,
right. he's questionable this week with a calf injury, but 5-1. You know, he's coming off the bye week, 5-1, but he's number one in completion percentage. in the entire league, 73%, fourth in yards per game. He has 16 touchdowns, four interceptions. He's third in passer rating. I mean, he's been the man all season. Kyler had, you know, was a step above him, but Kyler, you know, one game will hurt you in this. Yeah. So Kyler drops it too. Our guy Lamar Jackson, of course, you know, he's still box office, the guy we all want to see. He's still number three. Mahomes still struggling a little bit. Is number four, even though, you know, it's the defense for him. He has no offensive line. He's still up top in touchdowns, but has thrown a lot of interceptions. So Mahomes at four. Jameis Winston jumps up to five. You got Teddy Bridgewater at six. Jalen Hurts, seven. Geno Smith, eight. And Justin Fields, nine. And remember, Russell Wilson is hurt, or he'd be right in the mix. Right. Tyrod Taylor's hurt, and Trey Lance is on the bench. That's what we got for week seven.
Although he may play this Sunday.
He's healthy enough to play, so we'll see.
Yeah. Well, so there you have it. Well, this has been great. It's been great, Khalid, you know, talking. You know, you're one of the most knowledgeable folks I know, particularly when it comes down to breaking down talent and young talent and the youth scene in New York City and just the whole business of youth sports. Which I feel is fascinating. Didn't you wrote a book, right? Or your book is coming out?
Yeah. My book will be coming out, I believe, around Kwanzaa. Yeah, so I'll come up back on here and promote it.
And tell us what the name of it is, what the subject matter is.
Basically, the subject matter, I'm helping to navigate, black parents and black and brown parents in particular through youth sports. So, From my experiences from being a youth coach all the way to being an NBA scout, I help to, you know, navigate them through that.
All right.
System. Yep.
All right. Well, that's great.
I'll be like Bill, baby.
That's a guide that all parents need to read because, you know, particularly as a business gets bigger, parents need, you know, every parent thinks their kid is a star, you know, until they aren't. You know,
that's right.
All right. Soon, you know, Jamal will be the next one, man. When Kareem starts getting into the system, you know.
That's right.
I'll be chill though. I'm not gonna wild out as a parent. You know? I always found as a coach, the best parents were the parents who at least played the game on some level.
That's true.
You know, those of us, they kind of understand what's going on. They don't go too crazy. It's the ones that didn't play, had no relationship to the game. Those are the ones to watch out for.
Absolutely.
All right. Hey, this has been cool, man. Khalid Greene, thank you so much, man.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, no, this has been great. You know, good luck with New Heights Academy, doing great things with New Heights. Good luck with the extensive tournament. You know, hope you bring home another championship and you know, get those scholarships.
Yes, sir.
Right. That's right.
Thank you.
All right.
Yes. Thanks to Khalid Greene once again for joining us. Thanks to all the listeners. Keep listening. Keep supporting. Keep communicating with us. Follow us on Instagram @BrosPod, Twitter @BrosPod. Facebook @BillRoden on sports. And of course, we are brought to you by Bet Online. And good stuff coming next week as usual.
All right. Hey, everybody. Have a great weekend. Enjoy NFL games or the World Series or whatever it is you're doing. Continue to stay safe. Continue to, take this stuff seriously. Take COVID seriously. It's still real. So be safe, be smart, and God bless.
Saving money on your entire roofing project now at Menards. Protect your home for years to come with Owens Corning Architectural Shingles. They offer long-lasting performance while providing ultimate protection with a 130 miles per hour wind rating and limited lifetime warranty. Choose from over 50 options of Owens Corning shingles in-store and on Menards.com. And check out more of our great deals going on now.
Save big money at Menards.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.